We all need it. It's called rest. So let me take you back to my conversation with Dr. John Kessler, who brought that to us in a way that we can all relate, including those of us who need to honor the Sabbath rest. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you with me on a Power Friday. We're going to give you some music with some power to it. And we're going to share some information that we hope will be empowering. And speaking of empowering, I want to share with you some information that we have. Well, something that we have coming up just around the corner, right around the bend. As a matter of fact, right after July 4th, we will be simulcasting. While I'm thinking about it, we'll be simulcasting with our sister station, 96.9, your praise and inspiration station, on Monday, July 4th, also known as Independence Day. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, happy Independence, everybody. Happy Independence Day. Hope that you're going to celebrate wisely and well. Enjoy yourselves. Try not to eat too much. Try not to swim too much. And those of you who are going to be heading out to the seas and the oceans, give special attention to where you're going. We don't want anyone to get swallowed up or bitten up by the sharks. They seem like they're hanging out pretty close to us Homo sapiens these last few years. So be real careful as you head out to the beaches. But tell you what else we have coming up. This Saturday, tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about something that is very, very interesting. You know that we really believe in doing what we can to help encourage the celebration of diversity so that both genders really love each other. You know, we realize there's really no benefit to hating each other. There may be some pleasure to it for some people, but there's no benefit for anyone. No benefit for men to be hating women. No benefit to women hating men. We encourage people to celebrate each other's colors as well as our own. Yes, as well as celebrate the colors that are like ours. Celebrate the colors that are not like ours. I'm talking about ethnicity now. Let's celebrate humanity. God created humanity. He created it great. Let's not devalue humanity. Let's really, really come together. So, of course, this is a program where for years and years, I've really encouraged the celebration of diversity while promoting harmony. Let's continue to keep that going. And someone who's helping us with that is Dr. Stephen Stosny, capital S-T-O-S-N, as in Nancy, or N as in near, N-Y, Stosny. Dr. Stosny is a psychologist who really does an outstanding job of focusing on the brain and the ways that it can help us in life, or if we don't use it properly, ways that our brains can hurt us in life. One of the areas that we'll be looking at next week, as a matter of fact, next Tuesday, will be how we can make the proper use of our brains to help us rise above stress. That's right. Properly using the brain now. And that's the key. Using the brain properly to help us rise above stress. We're going to be mining some nuggets from his book, Soar Above. That's the title of the book, soar above. And Dr. Stassany and I will be mining some of the wealth that is in that book as we talk about how we can properly use our brains to rise above stress, to really cope well with stress. Now, one of the things that I'm doing to kind of prime us for that conversation is sharing some information that Dr. Stassany shares with regards to using our brains properly to overcome racism. So we're having that conversation today and tomorrow. And Dr. Stassany really breaks this down, basically focusing on two parts of our brain. One part he calls the toddler brain. The other part he calls the adult brain. And the way he breaks it down really makes sense. I'm serious. It is so clear. But I know that for a lot of us, the concept may be a new one, and so I'm deliberately introducing the concept today and tomorrow so that when he joins us Tuesday, we'll be ready to be thinking along the lines of the toddler brain, the adult brain. And we're not talking about two different brains and two different age groups. We're talking about adults who have the toddler brain and the adult brain inside the skull. That's right, inside that one skull, one brain, part of it acting like a toddler's brain would think, the other thinking more like a mature adult's brain would think. So we're going to give you some of that tomorrow. Let me start today. And one of the things that Dr. Stassany shares with us is that really, when we're talking about that toddler brain, we're really looking at that part of our brain that never goes away that thinks and reacts like a toddler does. That toddler brain projects thoughts and imaginations and feelings onto other people. We have heard about this. A lot of us read about it in high school. A lot of us read about it in college and undergrad. Projecting. And what is it that prompts us to project? Of course, it has to do with when, for whatever the reason, there's some kind of state that we're in, emotional and or physiological, that causes some unrest, distress, that we then respond to or react to in inappropriate ways. And one of those ways is by projecting, coming up with some negative thoughts about the other people, the other group. That's the main thing that we're focusing on now. Because remember now, his focus for this discussion is helping people who are racist see how they can soar above their racism. And I think that's important because, you know, I talked about this with one of our guests, I guess about 2 years ago. 2 to 3 years ago, we were talking about stress. We were talking about racism / discrimination. And one of the questions that I asked as we had that discussion was whether or not racists tend to put themselves under unnecessary pressure. And of course, we know that racists, almost by definition, are working very, very hard to put the objects of their venom, their hatred, their malice, their hostility under lots of pressure, under lots of stress. But I was curious as to whether or not, while the racist was in the process of trying to make life stressful for whoever the racist was targeting, does the racist also, even without realizing it, put him or herself under stress? And the expert said yes, without question. They cause stress for themselves. And although it is certainly wrong for anyone to be a racist, and it doesn't matter what ethnicity the person is, because I think it's no secret to any of us that racism is not a problem that exists within one ethnicity. You have quite a few ethnicities where someone within that group has a problem with racism. So when that's an issue, is there anything that can be done? Are there steps that the racist can take deliberately? Very defined steps that the racist can take to overcome his or her racism. And there is a benefit to the racist to overcoming. Certainly, there is the moral component. And of course, we have to realize at some point, we do reap what we sow. Whether it's during this temporal or temporary phase of life, or during the eternal phase of life, or both, we reap what we sow. And so if a person's not sowing seeds of ugliness, malice, hostility, meanness, they certainly won't have that given back to them by the Creator. So that's a benefit. If indeed the racist can experience a greater level of peace simply by devoiding themselves of the stress they put themselves under by pursuing the racist lifestyle, there's another benefit, a greater experience of peace. And I'm all for that. I am. I think it's great when the racist overcomes his or her racism. Not only great for the people who the racist was targeting, but it's also good for the racist. Direct benefit. So, Dr. Stassi, and I'll be talking with you a little bit more in depth about that tomorrow. But for now, taking a look at where we are with regards to racism and using our brain. What is going on in our brains when racism has kicked in and is driving us? What takes place, or should take place, can take place, in order to help us rise above that? Well, the major developmental crisis of toddlerhood is the struggle to balance two opposing drives. There's a drive to be autonomous, independent. We're able to decide our own thoughts, our own imagination. We're able to decide what our feelings will be. We're able to decide how we'll behave. And that's a strong drive. And it competes with an equally strong drive to connect to other people. So part of the drive, the toddler drive, moves us, prompts us, motivates us to be independent, dependent, independent, basically disconnected from other people. While that other drive says, hey, look, no man's an island, no woman is an island. We need other people, and we don't just need to be around them or have them around us. We need to be connecting. So we want to be free, and we want to be independent, because we don't want to feel like we're being controlled. At the same time, we need to rely on significant others. And get this, we need to have them rely on us for support and for cooperation. It's one thing for us to realize that people do rely on us. But how about when we need to have them rely on us? We want them to rely on us. I think that that's something that we need to dig into, right? Have I ever, I can just imagine some of us asking the question, have I ever been in a situation or had a time in my life where I consciously wanted someone to rely on me, wanted someone to seek my support? I guess another way to answer that question, or to approach that question or that whole issue, is to ask the question, would it bother me if I had never in my life had anyone to rely on me, to seek my support? And if we would have a difficult time dealing with a situation wherein we never, ever felt like anyone needed our support, relied on us, that may be an indication that we need to feel like someone needs our support. So you have these two drives. That drive to decide what our own thoughts would be, to decide what our own imagination would be, to decide how we will behave based on what we want, period. It's all about us. But then at the same time, we need to feel connected to other people. These two powerful drives pull us in opposite directions, where too much emotional investment in one impairs emotional investment in the other. Wow. Dr. Stosny is breaking this down for us, courtesy of Psychology Today. Stay with me when we come back. We're going to look into this some more, because he's taking us to the point where we can begin to see how we can use that brain to help us rise above racism. He's already laying the foundation for us. The part of us that says, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do me. And the other part of us that says, I need to be connected to other people. I'll be right back. You know, I really appreciate the fact that we have people of all ethnicities who address issues of race. I promised that at this hour on this day, I'd bring back a conversation that I had with Drs. Stephen Stosny, who spoke about race relations. Here's that conversation now.